But this is tentatively, this is the text that we will be in this morning. Philippians 4, 14 through 20. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise, church. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love and praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your will be done in this service. Thank you, Father God, that what must be said will be said, and we will take it in, and we will chew on it, and we will obey your word. Let us grow in relationship with you. We love and praise you. In Jesus' thank you for your anointing, Lord. We got to have that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, man, I love you guys so much. I mean it. I'm not lying right now, Savannah. I'm in church. I'm so glad to see you guys. I love you. I've been thinking about you all week, and I'm so glad to be able to come together and just share the word of God with my friends, my spiritual family. Look around. This is your family. This is your church family. Don't be discouraged. These are nice folks. Nah. Okay, yeah. Okay, so anyways, the Apostle Paul, real fast, the Apostle Paul, he's in house arrest over in Rome. He always wanted to go preach in Rome. He gets to Rome. He's locked up. He's on house arrest. And part of this house arrest is he is chained to a Roman soldier. Can you imagine that? I mean, this by far is not the worst prison that the Apostle Paul is ever going to be in. But at this time, he is chained to a Roman soldier. People outside the walls are stirring up all kinds of trouble against him. It's a tough time. There's some things that Paul really wants to do and that he has given to God that he expects God to allow him to do. But the fact of the matter is he's waiting on a sentence from Caesar. He could be let free tomorrow, or they could chop off his head tomorrow. That's just the kind of stuff that Paul the Apostle is going through right now. And he receives this care package from the church in Philippi. And so he, instead of being in the mully grubs, I'll look at your neighbor and say mully grubs. People up north, mully grubs means like depressed. Instead of being depressed or discouraged, he wants to encourage his brothers and sisters. And he still, as we've already learned in our text and as we will probably get into next week, he's still witnessing, man. He has not clocked out. Even though he doesn't have the freedom he would like to have, he is still spreading the word of God. He's making sure that he has this audience, and he's going to use this audience. He's telling them about Jesus, and it's going to bear a lot of fruit and has bore a lot of fruit. Anyways, Paul is encouraging the Philippians who are going through their persecution. It's not a popular time to be a Christian during this day and age. They're going through a lot of persecution. Paul's encouraging them. They are encouraging him. That's kind of where we're at. So he's talking about this care package real fast. Philippians 4:14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. I like how the Apostle Paul says, Savannah, he says, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. Because the simple fact of the matter is, guys, we don't have to share in people's hardships. Now, God expects us to, and God wants us to, but the Philippians could have been like, he's in jail. It's a long way off. Philippi, Rome, I don't know. How can we make this happen? Let's just pray for him. You know, have you ever done that? Let's just pray for him. I'm not saying don't pray. Prayer is a powerful tool, and we need to do that. But the Philippians, listen up. The Philippians saw a need, and they loved Paul, and so they sent out this package, this gift, to bless their friend who was going through a hard time. And the Apostle Paul is super thankful for it. He's like, it was kind of you guys. I really appreciate it. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 7. Because right now what we want to talk about, this point that we've been kind of touching throughout our whole study, is God wants his people to be a blessing to other Christians. God wants his people to be there for brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're going through a hard time, the good Lord says, you know someone's going through a hard time, do what you can. And like I said, sometimes all you can do is pray for them. But there are times when you can step into that situation and be a blessing to people. And I got to be totally honest with you. When my dad, when Fred Rott, my dad, when he passed away, I was overwhelmed by all the kind words. Everybody was quoting Bible verses and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually wonderful. But my heart was hurting, you know, when I knew the Bible verses. And, you know, people would come up and say, hey, he's in a better place and all that. I was like, yeah, thank you. That's wonderful. And that's true. That's absolutely true. There's no getting away from that. But what really blessed me was the fact that people, instead of skirting away from the painful situation, you know, because you can if you want to, you know, there's always a reason why you don't have to make the phone call. There's always a reason why you don't have to stop over. But what the true blessing for me was that people were rushing to the scene. People who I hadn't seen in years, you know, wanted to come and encourage me. So that's a picture of God's body. You know, and when somebody's hurting, when somebody's going through something, we want to do what we can. Amen? Amen. So look at 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay, all right. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. You ever think about that? Love is from God. Every good thing, everything you actually have ever experienced and with love is from God. Amen? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. As a matter of fact, we love because he first loved us. You know what I mean? When we were lost in our sin, man, he loved us and he wouldn't let us go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves, listen, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So Christians are supposed to love one another. This is a fruit that Christians are to bear. I'm not saying we sometimes, you know, we're a little different than one another. You know what I mean? Okay, but God says, let's focus on what we got in common. What do you got in common? We have a risen Savior that we love. Amen. We all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can start from there. Amen. So God wants us to be there for one another. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 3. This is a good one. I'm telling you, think about your brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in the Middle East. Think about those who are being persecuted in Asia and China, Vietnam. Think about the Ukrainian Christians who are scared to death right now. Think about the anxiety-ridden Russian Christians who are praying for the Ukrainian Christians. Think about our brothers and sisters right now that are going through so much. And when I walk out these doors, after everybody leaves and I lock up and everything, I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. If Rachel Jean ain't looking, I'm probably going to take a nap somewhere. You know what I mean? Oh, she doesn't like me to take breaks. But that's a whole nother sermon. She's a peach. I could talk to you all day about Rachel Jean. But, I mean, listen to this verse. Remember those who are in prison. Philippians, remember Paul. He's in prison. He's going through a tough time. Paul, you're in prison, but think about the persecution that the Philippians are going through. Victory Life Church, think about our brothers and sisters in South America who have no clue what they're going to eat today. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. That's a game changer right there, isn't it? To kind of put yourself in the shoes of the person that is hurting. Well, if you are a Christian and you have love, that's going to stir up some compassion. You know what I mean? To try and put yourself in that person's situation. Remember that person that's in prison like you are in prison. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Imagine yourself being scared to death as a father, as a mother, to leave your home to try and scrounge up some sort of food to feed your children, because once you walk out that door, somebody might kill you because they know you're a Christian. Or you could just hide behind the door, you know, get what you can and know that one day, pretty much, someone's going to knock on that door and pull you out because you're a Christian. Okay, that's what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have to deal with. Moving forward, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you also are in the body. I like how the author of Hebrews says, since you're in the body, since you know what it feels like to be mistreated, since you know what it feels like to go through hard times, put yourself in your brother and sisters in Christ's shoes and be there for them. Whatever that looks like, whatever you can do for them. You might not be able to pay the light bill this month. You might not be able to put $8 in the car, but maybe you can. Maybe you can, right? Everybody look at your neighbor and say, maybe you can. All right. I get riled up. Yeah, it was kind of you to share my trouble. Verse 15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, or when I first came around and delivered the good news, at the beginning of our relationship, Philippians, which is amazing. You need to go and read that in Acts. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, Philippi is in Macedonia, I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Paul's got a special relationship with the Philippian church. He's like, you guys have always been there for me. You know, there were certain times when we couldn't connect, but you know what? You've always been there. You've always been a blessing to me. You've always been good to me. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So what we got here is a little geographical thing. Philippi is in Macedonia. Thessalonica is in Macedonia. The Apostle Paul saying, as I've been going out and preaching and doing the things, you guys have constantly been blessing me. Not every church has been doing that, okay? But you guys have always been there for me. So James 2. All right, should be on your monitor. It is on the monitor. These are back. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I've missed these monitors. That is a blessing. Okay, James 2, 15 and 16. Anybody in here love the book of James? It is a dandy. Okay, so look here. James 2, 15 and 16. We're just talking about the simple fact right now, okay, that the Apostle Paul is stoked and just excited and thankful to God and to the Philippians that they blessed him, that they were concerned about him. Look at James 2 and 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, okay, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Honestly, what good is that? You okay, and what this is talking about is someone poorly clothed, like they don't have the coverings they need to protect themselves. You know what I mean? They don't have food. And so it could be kind of an insult for you to walk past that person, you know, who's begging for money or something like that before you want to judge him or try and figure out why he's in that situation. Okay, I don't know his life choices. I don't know if he made the right decisions or not. I don't know how he got in that situation. But here's a guy right here who's hurting. And you say, you know what? I'm going to say a prayer for you tonight before I go to bed. That's not a horrible thing to say. And we certainly should pray for him. And you should pray for him right then and there so you don't forget. But if you have a practical way to bless the person, we're talking about someone that's basically naked and that's starving, and you're doing okay. You're doing okay. And you're like, yeah, you know what, man? We all were dealt a hand of cards, you know, and I played my hand, and you played your hand, and God bless you, brother. I'll see you on the other side. I'll say a little prayer for you. I'll think about you when I'm eating my beef tips, whatever. Beef tips and rice and gravy, and rice pilaf, and all that. I've never eaten those things together in my life. I don't even know if I've had rice pilaf, but that doesn't even matter. I'm not above trying it. I'm just saying, if you want to bring me some. But, okay, see, here's the sentiment. Don't just say you're going to pray for somebody if you can do something about it. So the Philippian church, you know, obviously they were praying for Paul, and Paul was praying for them. But they said, you know what? We're going to do something about this guy's needs, man. We're going to make sure he has the parchments, the scrolls, whatever this guy needs, whatever it is, get it to him. And they sent Epaphroditus over there delivering the gift. Epaphroditus gets sick, almost dies. Paul sends him back. And we'll get to that in a minute. But see, James 2 and verse 15 and 16 says, don't just pray for somebody if you can do more than that. Do what you can do, right? Okay, let's go to the next slide. I want to say this because I do listen to the sermons from time to time, and I'll hear myself say, listen up, listen. I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm not even looking at you guys. So don't think I'm like knowing that you're doing your checkbook thing or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, check this out. Does that make sense? Okay, so Philippians 4, 17 and 18. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek, this is the big deal right here. This is the take home for our sermon. This is our lesson for the week, guys. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So the Apostle Paul just said something amazing. When you bless the Apostle Paul, Philippian church, God sees that. God is honored. God gets glory from that. And God says, I'm not going to be indebted to you, Philippian church. I am going to bless your socks off because you're blessing other people. You're blessing this ministry. Amen? He says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. God takes notice of everything we do, whether we're stingy or not so stingy. Okay, let me back that up. Proverbs 12, verse 25. I'm not saying anybody has any extra money. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that when you bless God's people, God blesses you back. Amen? So look at Proverbs 12 and verse 25, okay? We got two verses in Proverbs coming up. Proverbs 12, 25. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Now, you see how that works? I'm going to sow into this ministry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put some money in the offering plate. I'm going to help this guy that's in need. I'm going to put a few dollars in gas in my brother's car. I'm going to do what I can to help somebody out. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And one who waters will himself be watered. God takes notice of every single thing we do. And when I bless somebody, okay, God's going to bless me back. I want to make sure I keep the right attitude. We'll talk about that in a minute, Lord willing. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Whoever is generous, this is good, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Wow. Have you ever really looked at it that way? Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. God doesn't need anything from you. He's the all-sufficient one, but he loves you so much, and we are his body, and he wants to use us. And when I bless somebody, that gives God glory. God takes notice of that. God is pleased, and God says, okay, all right, I'm not going to be indebted to you. I see what you did. You're being obedient. I love your attitude towards this, and I'm going to bless you back. That's wonderful. What a wonderful promise. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So, you know what? When you give somebody a little something-something, you don't have to say, okay, on the first, I'm going to need that back. You know, that's not really giving it to them. You know, but when you do that, God says, I got you on that. I'll take care of that. What a beautiful thing. I don't know. I thought that was awesome. Okay. If a brother, okay, Philippians verse 18. Philippians verse 18, Philippians 4, 18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, talking about the gift again, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now listen to this part. Okay, when I bless, God blesses me back. But look, God takes notice of this. And this is a form of worship. This is giving God glory when I say, you know what? I'm going to sow into this ministry. I'm going to sow into Victory Life Church. I'm going to sow into the building fund. I'm going to sow into my brother's life. I'm going to donate some money to my friend who's going through a hard time. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Look, listen. This is cool. A fragrant offering. See, they would do those offerings. Hebrews would do those offerings, like these drink offerings and stuff. They'd pour it on the altar, and it'd make this awesome smell. It'd go up real fast and smoke. And so it was like this amazing, beautiful aroma, you know. And so when I do something like that, it's so pleasing to God. He's like, oh, that's my brother Bill. That's my sister Annie. I mean, that's my son, Bill. That's my little prince, Bill, right? That's my princess, Annie. See what they're doing? Oh, my gosh. Gabriel, look at this. Look. Okay. you sent a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So if you want to know one way you can please God and give God glory, is bless somebody. Sow into some ministry. Sow into somebody's life. Put a fiver in the offering plate or a tenner. A tenner. I said tenor and then I wanted to say something about alto and it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Now check this out. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. We want to please God. You know, we imagine making your heavenly Father smile like what Sister Monica was talking about. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Isn't that beautiful? We want to please God. He's been so good to us. And he wants us to obey his word. You know, if you love me, you'll do the things I command. And he says, so, be a blessing. But see, here's the thing, man. Not only, oh, I'm getting excited. You know what? Let's go to the next slide. Let's just go to the next slide. Is everybody okay? I hope you're getting something out of this. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. And my God, oh, this is it. This is the verse that we love so much. And I love it. Man, oh man, I love it. There's a lot of verses in Philippians that I love that I've learned since I was a baby Christian. I can quote them. You know, I'll be doing homeless ministry and I'll be like, well, I'm not going to. Whatever. I was going to quote a verse off the top of my head that had nothing to do with Philippians. You know, but whatever. Philippians 4, I'm learning. Philippians 4, 19. And my God will supply every need of yours. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, that's pushing the podium over, getting excited type stuff right there. And my God will supply every need of yours. Every need? Yes, every need. I don't know. I got some pretty big every need. And my God will supply, and this doesn't necessarily mean once, all right? But you guys are smart. You're bright. You get that by now. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches, he's got enough of those, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, the way you have access to getting your needs met is through Christ Jesus. If you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God's not bound by this concerning you. He's not obligated to meet your needs. You belong to somebody else right now. You take that up with your boss. You take that up with your master. You know what I mean? But if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you're in the family, then this is something that belongs to us. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't want to take this out of context because we do all the time, or I do all the time, if I'm not careful. Okay, but if I'm going verse by verse like what we're doing here, okay, Paul's talking about the precious gift that the Philippians sent, right? And he said, God is going to take notice of your sacrifice. And God loves, this is a pleasing, wonderful thing that you are doing. And God is so pleased with this that you're sowing into this ministry while I'm locked up. And he says, since you've given to me, since you've been a blessing to me, God knows this, God is pleased, God is honored, and God is going to take care of you. You see how that works? You see how it works? Like, I bless God's work, or I sow into God's work. All right. And God says, okay, I'm going to take care of you. All right. You be about my business. I'll be about yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. It's saying, you put me first and I'll make sure you don't go without. I'll make sure your needs are met. Give the Lord some praise. So look with me at Luke 6 and verse 38, and we'll go back to 2 Corinthians. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Isn't that cool? But listen to this part. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So, like we already know, you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. All right? But see, what we got here is if I want to sow into some awesome, amazing ministry, if I want to bless my brother and sister, if I see they're going through something, and I want to sow into their life. Now, check this out. This is super, super cool. Given, it will be given to you. All right. Good measure, bad measure, little measure, 6-inch sub, 12-inch sub, beyond that, good measure. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. So I don't know if you guys are connoisseurs of fast food. I'm a bit of a fast foodie, is what we call ourselves. I know about the drive-through waits in this burg pretty good. But seriously, when I was reading this last night, for some reason, this popped into my mind. And usually a lot of times when I pre-think about something, it's not going to pan out well, but here we go. So for whatever reason, my daughter Sarah used to love this place called Five Guys. Now there's one in Pace right down the way. Pace has got all the good restaurants. I'm starting a petition, by the way, because we have Church's Chicken. That's all we have. You know what? Never mind. That's my choices for chicken. Church's Chicken. That's what I get. If I want to shop in my town, I'm going to get Church's Chicken. Or I can go right down the way where the Fancy Boys live. I get Popeyes, KFC, which used to be in Milton. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with any of this. But anyways. Oh, okay. So moving forward, what are we talking about? Five Guys, yeah, I'm in. You fly, I'll buy. No, you buy, I'll. Okay, no, okay, okay. So there's this fast food restaurant. It's called Five Guys. If you've ever been there, there's like two things on the menu, like burgers and fries. Yeah. How many patties you want on the burger? Something like that. I haven't been there a lot, but I do remember this: that if you order a French fry, they have the plastic cup, right? The plastic cup, and they'll fill it with French fries. Like, okay. That's a decent amount. That's a full little cup of French fries right there. Then they'll put it in the brown paper bag, and then the cat will start dumping French fries in the bag, like all these fries. Yeah, it's expensive, you know, and I'm not saying it's worth it. I'm just saying they give you a bunch of fries for your $14 French fry. They do it right. They give you a bunch of fries. But I was thinking about that last night. I was like, you know, you get a French fry. This is so stupid. It was just loading up the fries, man. So listen, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. It'd be like if the dude at Five Guys didn't just fill up the little French fry thing, and he put it in the bag, and he fills up the paper bag, but then it's like all over your lap, and it's everywhere. Like, you know, that's how God says, I want to bless you like that. I want to bless you like that. In the back here, I know I'm going to get in trouble. I don't know why they haven't gotten on to me. These ladies, they're so patient with me. I'm patient with them, too. I was supposed to keep my receipts, you know, and I put them in I had a little Ziploc bag that I kept them in. And then I went to, like, a freezer-sized bag that I put in all these receipts. And, man, there's so many receipts in this bag that I keep going in there and stuffing more and more in there. And if I don't stuff it down just right, they're going to fall out over the cabinet. No one's ever going to find them and stuff like that. But it's a, whatever. Let's just move forward. Okay. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Given, it will be given to you. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Oh, this is good. This is good. The point is this. Okay, Brother Paul, what is the point? The point is this. Well, what's the point, Brother Paul? The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay? And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7. Each one, this is important. This is really important. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so if you feel like if I put this money in the offering plate, I'm being forced to do this and I don't want to do this, then don't do it. If you feel like, you know, like I have a friend, and he is a friend, and he's got some questions and concerns about church and offerings and stuff like that. And I get that. There's been some big preachers that have fallen and done some stuff. I understand where he's coming from. I don't agree with him, but I understand where he's coming from. And so he has this picture in his mind that as the money comes in, you know, somebody's getting wealthy off of that money, you know. Somebody's, you know, getting that money. It's not going back out into the community, which is not the case here. Money comes through here. We do bless a lot of people. But if you feel like, hey, I'm being ripped off, if I put this in the offer plate, then don't do it. Please just don't do it. You know what I mean? Or if you feel like, well, I got to do it. You know, hey, man, if you feel, I'll say it like this. If you feel like God has been a blessing to you, if you feel like you are blessed by God, okay, then you may want to sow back into that ministry. You may want to be a blessing to God. You may want to give God glory. Okay, so there I said that. Whoever sows bountifully, and I don't care if you put anything in the offering plate or all, not at all. We're just going through the text. I want you to be blessed, just like the Apostle Paul. He says, thanks for the gifts, guys. You know, it's awesome because now this is accredited to you in your heavenly bank account. God's taking notice of this, and God is really going to bless you. He is going to supply all your needs, every single one of them. So it's also, I want to have the right heart in my giving. Don't just give if you don't feel like you want to give. I don't want to do it. Well, then don't do it. But if you feel like God's been a blessing to you, then sow back into it. Amen. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's the main point right there. God loves a cheerful giver. All right. God wants you to be excited about. And it truly is. Blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Man, it's what a wonderful feeling to be able to bless somebody. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling. All right. Verse 8. Now, okay. So here's the sentiment. Sow, and you're going to reap a harvest. Keep the right attitude when you sow. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. What is God's grace? His favor in your life. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Man, I like the sound of that. You may abound in every good work. See, God wants you to be a blessing. God's going to bless you back bigger than you could even imagine, you know. And he says, I'm blessing you. Not for you to say, okay, I gave at the office. I put a little money in the offering plate here. I got a kid in Kenya that I'm supporting. I got this thing going on here. So now I'm going to get blessed. And now as that blessing comes in, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to hoard it. And that's how this thing's going to work. No. You may abound in every good work. God says, keep this thing going, man. Keep this. I want to use you. I want you to be a blessing. I want to have money flow through you. I want access to your talents. I want access to your time. I want access to your pantry. I want access to your pocketbook. And we do. We really get stressed out when people start talking about our checkbook or our pocketbook. And it's like, hey, man, I worked hard for this stuff. Yeah. The reason you were able to work hard for that is because God gave you the ability. God gave you the job. God has been the one that has blessed you. And he says, you know, sow back. Throw this piece of bread out there on Munson Lake, and it'll come back to y'all bigger than ever. That's paraphrased. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever, amen. Isn't that wonderful? When we sow into that ministry, when we're obedient to the Lord, when we bless somebody, that gives God glory. And that's what we're all about here at Victory Life Church. We want to be obedient to what God has called us to do. Remember, we're not just to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, but we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I love you guys, and meditate on that. Pray on that. Read Acts. Read Philippians. We're almost done with Philippians. We got some other good stuff right down the old VLC pipeline. You guys are going to be real.